Good morning, everyone. Good morning.
Good morning.
What a great time of worship and prayer. Let's give God praise for what he's doing this morning. And as you've heard, my name is Nathan Perry. I'm coming from LifePoint Church. I'm super excited to be here. Thanks to Pastor Jin for having me. But let's just go ahead and pray and we'll jump right in. Heavenly Father, thank you for all the souls and the hearts gathered here today, Father. Thank you for what you've done this morning. I pray that you would continue to pour your spirit out on us. Pray that your words would be heard clearly more than mine, that you would be in everything, and that you would be praised, and that you would be given the glory and the honor and the praise. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. So I want to start off with a question for you all. It's something I think everyone here has probably experienced. You know how you go through your life? You're just going through the standard routine of things, right? Let's just take lights for an example. You walk through your house. You normally turn that light on, off and on all the time. One day you walk into the room, you turn it on, except only you don't turn it on, right? There's nothing happens. The light doesn't come on, and you're just stuck in a quick moment of like, what happened, right? Is the bulb out? Did a breaker blow? Was the power out? So you're trying to figure out what happened. Another moment that I like to think of in this scenario too is the deadening moment when you get into your car and you turn the ignition and nothing happens. There's just this sense of unsettling. It's visceral. You can feel it, right? Those are the kinds of examples that I'm going to use this morning to kind of outline the unexpected, right? So as we walk through life, there are times where our finances are looking good, and then all of a sudden something unexpected happens and it's not, right? The light's been switched. Our relationships good, they look good, but then all of a sudden it changes and they're not good. Bills, there's so many things that can happen in our lives where we're normally just flipping that on and off, and then all of a sudden it's off, or the car won't start. Things are shaken and we're stuck trying to figure out what happened? Why is this happening? So for this message, I want to make sure, normally this would be like something for ourselves, right? But I want us to kind of take on the perspective of God in this situation and think, what does God feel like when he's going through our life, getting us ready to step into whatever it is, and he flips on the light and nothing happens? For us, we're not ready to do what he wants us to do, and I know I've experienced in my life, and I'm sure you have too, it must wreck his heart. It must. So as we explore this, the main theme is going to be you, each and every one, are the salt and the light. You need to be ready for when God flips the switch and calls you into action. I know you guys just finished up the Beatitudes. They're great messages. I watched a few. They were excellent. And it's really what we're going to do is just continue through the scriptures in Matthew 5. We're going to be in Matthew 5 verses 13 through 16 today, and this is just immediately following the Beatitudes. And the subsection in your Bibles probably reads salt and light. And this is really what we're gonna dive into this morning. So we're gonna go ahead and read that, and we'll keep going through. Verse 13 starts off and says, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." So we're really looking to make sure we are the salt and light. We've got to make sure that we're ready when God calls us into action, or obviously he'll feel it, we'll feel it, and we won't be in his will. So I want us to kind of take some time to personalize it even further. This is an identity level. We have to make sure we take this on fully. God is calling us the same way he calls us to motherhood, fatherhood, daughter, sister, right? Whatever relationship status, it's that deep. There's several layers to how we take on truth, right? But once you get to the point that this is who you are as a person, that's another level. So we want to get to that level of deepness and understanding that we are the salt and the light to the earth. As we personalize it, again, we just want to make sure we take it on as an identity. But then we ask ourselves the question, how do we do this, right? How do we take on that identity? And I want to take some time to introduce an idea to you. It's mainly rooted in psychology, but all truth comes through Christ, right? All truth comes through the scriptures. But we're going to start off with the psychology piece, right? So there's something called an automatic negative thought. And there's automatic positive thoughts. These automatic negative thoughts are a loop that keep us stuck in a cycle. And when you're stuck in the cycle, you can't do what God calls you to do because all you're doing is focusing honestly on yourself and the fact that you can't do it. But what we want to introduce is the automatic thought process. So that loop's going, and we want to connect in and branch it out into a new loop of positive thought, which is God's word and God's truth. Again, this is psychology, but the truth is rooted in God because all truth originates from God and it comes from God. So we want to explore a few scriptures to kind of pull this together. In 2 Corinthians 10:5, we read, "We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ." So again, there's those cycles, and what we want to do is branch off, and we want to make sure that we are in line with the knowledge of God. I like to think of the thoughts that go through our minds as though they are shackled and bound. They're on their wrists and their feet, and they have no power until I come over and unlock them, right? A lot of times we just let thoughts run all over our lives, but we need to remember that they are under the control of God, and only what we allow through can affect us. Another key verse that we want to look at is Romans 12, verse 2, which says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." So that, again, is outlining the fact that we're going to have to renew our minds. This is not a quick process. This is something that takes time. This is something that takes intentionality. It's a long haul, right? So I would say for today, this is a catalyst moment, right? This is a moment where you can start to reconsider, but this isn't the only moment. This moment has to continue for the rest of your life. This is something that we've got to wrestle with in our quiet times, in our studies, and make sure that we're re-identifying ourselves as the salt and the light of the earth. So it takes a while to mature. I grew up with spiritual growth being one of the main concepts that I kind of associate it with, and that is it. It's the disciplines, it's all the pieces that help us align ourselves with Christ. So there was a period in my life where I kind of veered off, right? It was in my late 20s. I was just working nonstop. I wasn't sleeping enough. I wasn't eating right. And it all kind of just reached a boiling point where I was just done, right? I couldn't function correctly. I was still doing the things, but I wasn't doing the things the way God wanted me to do them. So that's, again, where those automatic negative thoughts start to come in. You start to spiral down, and we need to make sure that we're in God's word and that we're associating with him, and we know who we are, and that way we won't fall into those cycles. So again, those concepts of renewing your mind, of taking time to follow God and set yourself aside and really focus on what God wants is important. But yeah, I had adrenal fatigue. I had all these different things happening where I was just in a high-stress state all the time, and again, God can't use us in those situations. So we want to make sure we're taking care of ourselves and make sure that we're aligning ourselves with God. God helped me find different people to help me, pastors, professionals, counselors. Explore all the options God has available to you so that you can step into his will. And there's a point of pride in some people's lives, and definitely in mine, where I was like, no, I can figure this out, you know, I got it. But ultimately, we can't, and we need God to help us through everything. So we just want to continue to position ourselves to be the salt and light, and ultimately, like I said, we want to stay connected to God. That is the height of it. So I'm going to go ahead and read John 15:4, which kind of outlines that or highlights that a little bit more. And it says, "Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me." Again, that's just, we've got to stay with God. There's nothing good can happen unless we are aligned with God. So Jesus is telling us to be the salt and light, but he's also telling us that our good deeds will help others esteem or honor God. In verse 16, which we read, it says, "In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." So we want to make sure that we are completely and totally surrendered so that our deeds, which are going to be the light, people see the love that we show, the connection we have with the Father, those things are going to allow people to see that God is good and help them come to him. And that way we can save the lost. We can also help those in the community of faith. So I just want to make sure that we do tie those together. Esteeming God and honoring God is something that if we can play a part in that, we're fulfilling what God wanted from the original intent in the garden. It's allowing us to find our purpose and to move into that. So one thing that we've been taught, I think, within our society is that our faith is private, and that we're supposed to kind of do it in an insulated kind of way, like in these small communities, right? And I want to call that out because that is obviously completely a lie. We are called to be public-facing to the people around us. We cannot do this alone, and it cannot be a private thing. So God, as he's calling us to be the salt and light, you can't be salt if you eat something and you don't realize there's no salt, or you don't see a light. The light has to shine. It has to be visible to everyone, and we need to be ready to do that. So I want to take a brief moment to kind of understand the context of salt within that time frame that Jesus is speaking, because he's speaking to the crowd again. He's speaking to the disciples. And in the Greco-Roman era, in that time, salt was harvested, but it was harvested with contaminants in it, which is different from today's salt, because today's salt doesn't have any contaminants in it, which also allows it not to have that leaching effect, which we're going to discuss. So those contaminants were magnesium, which caused bitterness, gypsum, and moisture. So when it was stored in a location, what would happen is over time, those minerals would start to allow the salt to leach away. So the salt did lose its saltiness, and it's something that we need to grasp and take a hold of, because that's a lesson that we can learn. So the contaminants or the errors, or today in our circles we call it sin, those things kept people from doing what God wanted them to do, and it's super important that we dispel all contaminants from our lives. So a few lessons here. One of them is, I think, one of the bigger idols in our communities, and that is the love of money. There's this concept in Matthew, he's talking about gaining the whole world. We're going to read that and kind of dig in and dissect that. So in Matthew 16, 25 through 26, it says, "For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. What good will it profit?" I'm sorry, that's the old school. "What good will it be if someone gain the whole world and yet forfeit their soul? Or what can someone give in exchange for their soul?" So I actually grew up, you know, with King James Version. So unfortunately, the King James probably pops out occasionally as I'm going through. But essentially, this whole passage is talking about, the first section is talking about losing our souls. And losing it, and what exactly happens if we lose our lives to Christ? We actually gain our lives, right? We gain our lives back. So as we're going through life and we have these moments where money starts to elevate itself, it starts to become a higher priority, what happens is God is less, and we can't step into what we were called to do. One side note, which isn't in my notes, but I think it's important to say, when we start to elevate money, one of the great ways to make sure we're not elevating money is by offering, tithes, and giving. What it does is it puts it in its rightful place, because then we're not trying to get as much as we can. We understand it belongs to God. So I highly encourage offering, tithing, those kinds of things help us to align the money in our lives in the proper position. So the other aspect that kind of pulls us away a lot of times is seeking pleasure. We're actually, you know, going through life, always trying to feel good, trying to live our lives in a way that we're never going to feel bad, which, as we know from Christ and being on the cross and taking up our crosses, is not in line with what God wants. He wants us to be ready in every moment to step out, no matter the cost, and follow him. So I'm going to read a proverb kind of to highlight this. It's and I want to highlight, too, the fact that proverbs are principles and not promises. They're general guidelines. So this isn't 100%. It is generally true. So in Proverbs 21:17, in the NIV version, it says, "Whoever loves pleasure will be a poor man. He who loves wine and oil will not be rich." Now, the money is not the part that's the most important. The most important piece here is the fact that when they're seeking this, when they're seeking something, they're not going to get it, essentially. They're not going to have the money to buy the things. They're not going to be able to get what they're looking for. So that's something that I know I've dealt with in my life, just trying to feel good, trying to move through life, and not being ready to lay it all down for Christ. The other aspect that I want to touch on really quick is seeking control and power, kind of to feel safe, right? A lot of people move through life trying to make sure that they have controlled the situation, that they have power over the situation so that they'll be okay. I think everybody in here knows that you can't control every situation and you don't have power over every situation. So we're going to read a proverb again to kind of highlight that, and that's Proverbs 11, verse 7, which says, "Hopes placed in mortals die with them. All the promises of their power comes to nothing." So again, this is key. I know I've also dealt with this one, trying to control everything. God is in control. And if we trust him, we also should feel safe. We should feel as though we're going to move. Now, of course, there are times where we're going to bear our cross, and we need to be ready for that. Just because we're unfortunately having to go through a really bad time does not mean God's in control. And there's a whole host of really awful things that we go through. But ultimately, in the end, it's all going to give God glory and honor in our lives. So those are a few contaminants that I think pop up often, and we want to make sure that our identity is in Christ and that those things don't start to leech away at us, and so that we can actually be ready to give what God wants us to give in every situation. So as we move on, I just want to kind of highlight a few more things. I feel like there's so many times that those sins and those contaminants start to pull me away. It happens, unfortunately, more often than we'd like, I'm sure. But we want to make sure that we are ready to give our sacrifices to God when he calls us to it, and that we're able to move in the direction that he wants us to move in. So a few things that I was going to add in, but we're going to kind of just briefly mention, is salt in the Old Testament was actually used as a covenant, as an eternal kind of bonding. In the ceremony, they actually put salt on the offerings that were given to God on the altar. So there's a whole lot of layers of great information in there that are helpful. And then salt was also used to cure meats, right, and allowed people to live through harsh winters, right? There's a preservation piece that salt also has. It was used as payment, so on and so forth. There's so many different ways that we could kind of draw on what salt does. But I want us to kind of hone in on the fact that those contaminants need to be removed from our lives so that we can be useful to God. So the salt and the light are really kind of very intertwined. They're similar in nature. So really, as you get one concept, you'll get the other. But we're going to move into light and kind of go through that. So in verse 14 and 15 of Matthew chapter 5, we read this. You are the light of the world. A town on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. So this we read earlier. It's interesting to me that Jesus immediately follows up the fact that the light is that we are the light. He immediately follows that up with the fact that it's a city, we're a city on a hill, which means we are meant to be displayed. We are meant to be in a position where people can see us. I think this is definitely important, right? Because there's so many times that, like I said before, people are told not to be public with their faith, but we're called to that. What's also interesting is the fact that if you put a bowl over top of a lamp or a flame, we all know what happens there. The flame goes out, right? It's interesting that he adds that into what he's preaching that day. So corporately and collectively, individually, we all need to be public. We need to be public facing. So the central commonalities, I think, that are in between salt and light, what's great there is the fact that they both affect a change in every scenario, right? That's what we're called to do. We're not necessarily having to be flashy. We don't absolutely have to be massively public. But ultimately, we're obeying the Holy Spirit, even in those subtle, small moments where God is saying, talk to this person, where he's saying, you need to connect, and you're open, and you're ready to connect in those moments. Another thing, I think sometimes we think of it as being only for the unsaved, but this salt is totally for everyone in this room, right? It's for the people and the household of faith. We are all salt and light to each other, and that's how we encourage and point people to God to glorify him for the things he's doing. So I just want to make sure we know that it's not just for the unsaved, it's for everyone. And that way we'll have a great impact and a great kind of use of what we've been given and what we can give. So I want to briefly step back to salt and kind of make clarification, right? So there's a part where it says the salt is thrown out in the streets and it's trampled under feet. That could seem like we're the salt and that we're worthless and that we're thrown in the street, right? But that's not what's being said here. We are still created by God. God has a purpose for us. Jesus died for us and gave us the opportunity to come back in right relationship with him. That does not change when we're not in those moments where we're able to be used. What's lost in those moments is the time and the opportunity. And that is something that is devastating. It's something that is something that we need to mourn and grieve because we weren't ready to be used by God and it breaks his heart. But we need to take that time to kind of just make sure that we understand we're still God's chosen, we're still to be used by him, but we also did lose something. And if we start to get stuck in the fact that we lost our opportunities, we're stuck in that cycle again of saying, oh, I can't do it, or I don't have enough money, or whatever the thought is. And if we can pull ourselves out and remind ourselves that God can do it and that we're confident in what he's doing in our lives, then we'll be ready and available for what he has for us. So after you take that time to mourn, then you just jump gratefully into what God has, and you're ready to move on and do what he wants you to do. So when I was younger, I think God was calling me. I know God was calling me into the ministry, whatever that looked like. I was going to go to Bible college, but I was in a family of 8 kids, and there's a lot of financial strain on a family with 8 kids. My parents had already put some kids through school, and I said, you know, God, this looks a little tough for you. So I'm gonna take this on myself. I'll go get a job first. I'll get money, and then I'll come back, right? And obviously that was a horrible decision, and it's something that I grieve. But ultimately, God was faithful and called me back later in life to start stepping back into what he wanted me to do, which he didn't have to, but he did, and I'm grateful. So there's moments, like I said, you grieve that, and then you just step right into what God has for you. So just be ready to encourage each other in that, to step into what God wants. And then as you go through life, you don't want to be, just Bible thumping, spouting verses, right? This is not a call to stand on the corner and tell everyone they're going to HE double hockey sticks, right? This is a call to be intentional, to stir with the Holy Spirit in love for people, step out and connect with them, show love the way that Christ showed love. That's what we're called to do. And they'll know us by our love, right? So as we walk through life, as we're, you know, at school, at work, in all those situations, we need to be ready to show the salt and the light that God has given us. And so I think one of the pieces that Jesus kind of showed us was the fact that he looks out, right, and he can see that people are struggling, right? That there's devastation and there's pain. So I want to read a verse that kind of speaks to that in Matthew 9, verse 36. And it says, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. So he looks out, and we should do the same thing. Look out and see either other Christians or other lost people, and our hearts should break for them to the point that the compassion moves us to action, and we go out and we start helping and doing what God wants us to do. And like I said earlier, this isn't just for the lost. This is for everyone in this room. It's as you go, right? And one of the primary locations that you're at where, you know, specifically for the lost, if you're at your workplace and there's a ton of folks that have never heard Christ, that is one of your primary locations, right? That's one of the spots where you connect the deepest with people, and it's one of the spots where the God that lives in us should shine the brightest. Same thing at school. Like those are the opportunities where we're connected most with the outside world. So again, I just want to make sure we know the places that we need to step into and make sure that we're connected with people and that God is being shown. So I want to do kind of an exercise where it's going to require people to do something, which is great, right? I don't know, I feel a little stressed, it's very simple, right? So everyone in here, and you know what I like right now is that it's so kind of dark in here, but if you have a phone, if you could take a moment to grab your phone, and everyone should have a flashlight app, right? Flashlight app, does everyone know where their flashlight app is? We've got them, right? Excellent. So yeah, just hold it up, and what I want is for everyone to kind of look around, right? Now, I'm not going to pick on the people that don't have a flashlight, right? I'm not picking on you. I'm not. But as you look around, people should see this, right? And again, I'm not picking on the people that don't have a flashlight because I knew there were going to be a few. But as you look at the people who don't have a flashlight, right, those are the people that unfortunately are today going to just represent people that aren't shining and aren't ready to shine for Christ. Right? So this is what everyone should see as we walk through life. As you look around, this is what it should look like. So you can put your flashlights away, but thank you for that. Thank you for those who were able to do that. That is essentially what was yes, you can turn it off. he's got it. Yeah, he's got some help there. That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah, so just remember that as you walk through life, make sure that you're ready and you can step into what God wants you to do in all those situations. So I think the overall theme, right, is we want to be salt and light. We want to be ready. And we honestly just want to make God proud of us and what we're doing, right? We want him to look down and say, well done, right? That is what every Christian wants. So just really settle in on that. So I want to, as we start to wrap a little bit, I just want us to take a moment to imagine like we're all in God's army, right? And every week we go into the commander's meeting or the generals, right? And they're telling us what to do. And then some of us go out and do it, right? And some of us don't. And what's really crazy is in a wartime scenario, and there's some soldiers that are following and some that aren't, those wars don't go well. This is a group effort. We're all called to be in this army, and we need to step up and do our part because every single person matters, right? There's something, of course, I'm sure you guys have heard about, you know, the chain where it's the that it can break the easiest, right? Like the loose link, right? The link that potentially break. We don't want to be that. We want to be all hand in hand. We want to be ready for when God calls us, and so that we're a strong unit that can step in and do God's work. Every single person, when Jesus says, you are the salt and the light, he's talking to each one of you individually. We all need to step up to the level that he's calling us to, or we can cause some really, really tough damage to the kingdom of God. So in Joshua, this is going to kind of highlight that. We're not going to go there, but in Joshua 5, it talks about how a man showed up in front of Joshua with a sword. And Joshua said, are you for me or against me, right? Are you for Israel or not? And this man said, neither. And Joshua knew in that moment what was happening. And he fell on the ground and worshiped him. And the man didn't stop him. He didn't say, no, get up. I'm not. He let him worship him. And that's something we call a Christophany. It's in the Old Testament where Jesus showed up, right? But what happens, I think, a lot of times in our world is we come to God from whatever side we're on, and we say, God, are you for me? Are you for us? Politically, whatever it is, right? Are you for us? And I feel like in the majority of the situation, God says neither. He says, follow me. Follow me. So I want to make sure that we understand God is calling us to act publicly, right? In all those situations. Work in your conviction. But remember whose kingdom you are part of and follow him and act for him alone and his kingdom. So I just think if we, the Big C Church, were to step into what God wants us to do, if we were to be a full unit stepping out, I mean, I don't know if you guys can imagine how impactful that would be. We're impactful, don't get me wrong. There's great things happening here. Christians are doing great things. But there is another level. And it takes each one of us to step into what God's calling us to do so that we move forward as a unified front to do what God wants us to do. So I want to take a moment. I don't know if there are any unsaved folks in here, but I want to take a moment, if there are, for us to see if they are willing to follow Christ. So if you could bow your heads, close your eyes. There's something that we want to talk about, the ABCs, which is admitting, believing, committing our lives to Christ. So I want to give this opportunity for anyone here that maybe is on the edge, that may want to follow Christ, and they've heard about the love of Christ, and they're pulled to him by the salt and the light of his people. I want to give a moment where that person can respond. So I'm going to count to three, and if you have decided to follow Christ or have decided to follow Christ after a long time away, if you could raise your hand, and then you can repeat after me. So if you could raise your hand, and one, two, three. There's anyone that's saying yes to Jesus today or yes to Jesus, it's been a while, then raise your hand. All right, now I want to give an opportunity for anyone here who wants to commit to being the true salt and light of the earth. People who are going to be unified and step out to do God's work as his church. If you want to commit yourself to that and get yourself in the right relationship to move to the next level, then I want to give an opportunity for that, for those here that would want to step forward. So if you could raise your hand, you have several hands up. Praise God. So I'm going to pray for you all. You can put your hands down. Father, thank you for those who raised their hand, who are making this commitment to move with you, Father, to be filled with your Spirit, to help affect a change in the world, to help bring people into their true purpose so that you will be praised and glorified. I pray that you empower and encourage them in the deepest levels, Father. Move in their hearts and their minds. May they connect with you at a greater level. I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So one last thing, I want to give you guys a challenge for the week. If you could take time in your prayer time or your new prayer time that you're going to create, that you stop and ask God to pull out the contaminants, anything that's hindering you from moving into what God wants you to do in your life. Just take that time, at least the next 7 days, and ask God to help show you where you can grow. All right. Well, that's it for me, and I'll ask Amanda to come up.